My guest at this time is Horace Cooper. He's a senior fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research and is co-chairman of the Project 21 National Advisory Board. He joins me now to talk about Project 21's brand new project, and which also focuses on some areas of policy that badly need attention. The project is called Blueprint for a Better Deal for Black America. And one of the things that this project focuses on is the great disparity in six-year graduation rates in college for blacks as opposed to folks of other ethnicities. And Horace, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, let's start with what we're seeing here with these six-year graduation rates. From what I've seen in your report, just 38% of blacks earn their four-year college degree after 6 years. By comparison, 62% of whites, 63% of Asians, and 46% of Hispanics receive their degrees within 6 years. So what's the reason for the disparity once all these people get to college? Why some have a better shot at getting their degree and others don't?
Well, the main thing that we are trying to emphasize with this report is that there are certain strategies and policies that have the effect of hurting people who are working class and poor. Minorities tend to be more disproportionately poor, but poverty knows no actual discrimination. But I say all of that to say there are no policy prescriptions, and we have 57 recommendations, policy recommendations. There are no policy recommendations in our blueprint that are color specific. We believe that good public policy is going to be great for Black America because it's great for the country. A rising tide lifts all boats, and we want to get away from this idea that we have racial winners and losers and that government picks its favorites. So on the education front, our public school system in too many inner cities are simply failing. As it happens, Black Americans are disproportionately enrolled in these failing schools. These schools have policy strategies that are not useful for education. Many of these cities and urban communities refuse to incorporate ideas like competition, school choice, opportunities for the faith community to play a role, and they often have a very hostile attitude about even parental involvement because in many instances they feed these children. They provide other kinds of job training for these children, and they think of themselves as the family of these children. We want to see a reversal so that we look at the success principles that can work, and that starts with what are we doing in these urban communities with these failing schools.
So, Horace, does this go back to George W. Bush's soft bigotry of low expectations? In other words, the system shuffles these kids along in really bad schools, and so they get the grades in these terrible schools to get into college, but then they're not prepared for it. Is that what's happening?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, what you're seeing is a disproportionate number of the graduates at these places can barely read the diploma that they're given. In 2017, 6% of black high school students who took the ACT, the American College Testing Exam, met the four benchmarks that were necessary for college readiness. Now, here's the telling point. Only 35% of white Americans who graduated met these standards, and almost 50% of Asian Americans met this standard. Here's the case. In Europe, in much of Asia, they are insisting that their education system deliver for their young people. In America, we've been much more interested in letting bureaucrats get cushy jobs and make sure that unions get the support that they need rather than insisting we absolutely need our kids to be able to read the diploma that we hand them when they graduate.
Well, you've identified what a lot of people think of as one of the big stumbling blocks, bureaucracy and unions and so forth. But as you well know, anytime you try to challenge that, whether it's with vouchers or school choice, charter schools, the amount of howls and protests that you get in those situations, even for minority students in the worst neighborhoods and the worst schools, there's no tolerance for it at all. So how do you effectively make change given the rigidity of the system?
Well, we absolutely need to challenge the people who are happier to get a union endorsement and happier to say how many employees they have on the rolls than whether or not our young people can achieve. The truth of the matter is, if you are not equipped to compete in the 21st century marketplace, you are going to suffer dramatically, and you may end up feeling forced to pursue non-legal means of providing for yourself. That's one bad alternative. A second bad alternative is you decide you don't want to break the law. You simply rely upon the generosity of the American people to provide almost cradle-to-grave services for you. Neither of these outcomes are worthwhile. And so we believe that mayors and superintendents and union representatives all need to be pushed to say you're not presently delivering. And we think if we could get some a federal needs-based voucher program going, tax credit scholarship, so grandma and grandpa, aunts and uncles, and even friends can help bring funds to the table for people, and that we need to start assessing our local schools that receive federal dollars and say to them, to the degree that you continue to perform poorly, we are going to reduce the support that you get. Not we're rewarding you, we're actually incentivizing you. If you would like to keep these dollars, you need to change what it is that you're doing with these dollars.
Well, there's 10 areas in this blueprint that Project 21 focuses on. And the first three seem to absolutely build on one another, promoting K through 12 educational choice, improving higher education, and reducing black unemployment. So unless you start addressing successfully the foundational educational issues, these other issues along the same lines are just going to persist.
Well, that's right. And that's why I said we have come up with a colorblind prescription. And the reason we did this is we recognize how America, a breakaway colony, started with very little and in the space of 150, nearly 200 years, became the most consequential and most transformational country on the planet. It started with these building blocks, family. It started with faith, free markets, personal responsibility, limited government. These attitudes, these strategies led to America's success, and they will lead to any group's success. The challenge is that in the 1960s, a bunch of very seemingly smart people said, we don't need those things. Family, that's so yesterday. We need Washington, D.C. bureaucrats to come in and dictate. We need massive government. Free markets can't be trusted. What it took until the 1980s for Ronald Reagan to step in and say, these things haven't worked. We have spent trillions in trying this failed strategy. We're asking now that we have a president who is sensitive to these issues, a Congress that potentially might want to engage on these issues. Let's bring back the importance of family. Let's bring back the importance of faith, free markets, limited governments, personal responsibility, and let that unlock a lot of the potential in black America as well as the country. It succeeded in making this country amazing, remarkable, transformational, and if we do it again with intentionality, we can do it here in America and end a lot of the impoverishment and poverty that we see.
Horace, we just want to let folks know that this can be found at nationalcenter.org, the Project 21 blueprint. And Horace went through a lot of these different topics, from education to strengthening faith-based communities, improving the relationship between police and black communities, excessive regulation, excise taxes, criminal justice system. There's a lot of different areas that all need attention, and they get that attention in this report. Horace, thanks very much for your time today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Horace Cooper is a senior fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research. He's co-chairman of the Project 21 National Advisory Board. He's also a legal commentator. And again, the Project 21's blueprint for a better deal for black America can be found at nationalcenter.org. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.